Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to Bible Truth for Living. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds, your host. Before I get into the message today, I want to make an announcement about our upcoming Understanding the Times Bible Prophecy Weekend. We're only a couple of weeks away now, and we're really looking forward to this. It's Friday through Sunday, May 19th through the 21st. Pastor Rodney Malott will start off Friday night with a teaching on the coming tribulation temple. Brother Rodney's been to Israel several times and has a lot of new information that I think you will get a lot out of. It's at 6 o'clock Friday, May the 19th, and Saturday, May the 20th, we have a representative from Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, also called Understanding the Times, Brother Ken Michael. He's going to bring a prophecy update, talk about some current events at 5 o'clock on Saturday, May 20th, and then Sunday, May the 21st. My dad, Dr. Ron Reynolds, at 9 o'clock will teach on the characteristics of the kingdom age, the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. 10 o'clock that morning, I'll be preaching, Are You Ready for the Rapture? And then we'll wrap up the weekend at 6 o'clock Sunday night with a Bible prophecy Q&A time. So don't miss any of it. You'll get a lot out of it. And I think we all see some things going on in our world. We need to tie it in with Scripture, and that's what we're going to do on our Bible prophecy weekend. That's at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, located at 817 Woodland Drive here in Mount Vernon. You can call us at 618-244-5404 or visit online at mountvernonbaptisttemple.com for more information. All right, we're going to jump into our message today titled Three Truths About Happiness. I'm reading from John chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, the title of this message comes from a book written by a man who's not necessarily a believer in Jesus Christ. He's a religious man, but his name is Dennis Prager. Maybe you've heard of him before. Prager is a devout Jew. I pray that the Lord finally reveals to him who the Messiah is, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Prager has a lot of good things to say, and he wrote a book several years ago on this problem of happiness in our society. And that's what he titled his book, Happiness is a Serious Problem. It's a serious problem. Now, it was about 25 years ago when he wrote that book. And if it was a problem then, it certainly is a serious problem now. It seems that there is a lot of unhappiness in our world today. And Americans are among the most unhappy people in the world, which is really strange because we have been so blessed. Let me give you an example. Yale University recognized the severity of unhappiness and depression in the culture, and so it decided to offer an in-person and online course under the name The Science of Well-Being. Well, this class began in 2018, and it quickly became one of Yale's most popular classes in over 300 years of its existence. Listen to this. By April 2019, this class had 22,522 new enrollments. 1 year later, as the coronavirus pandemic started to take off, the class saw 860,494 new enrollments. That's how much it jumped. And then by January 2022, more than 3.7 million people had enrolled in this class on the science of well-being. Now, as an ultimate irony, this most popular happiness course received low student ratings from unhappy students who took the course. So that's just indicative of the problem that we see today. Now, happiness is not a selfish concern. There's nothing wrong with pursuing happiness. In fact, it's part of our Declaration of Independence. You've heard that term before, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, it's not the promise of happiness, it's the pursuit of happiness. God is okay with us being happy. You don't gain spiritual points by being unhappy and miserable. That doesn't make you more spiritual, okay? The word happy actually appears at least 25 times in the scripture. Now, we may look at some of these more in detail at some other point, but here are just some scriptures relating to happy. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord. Job 5, 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Psalm 127, 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of children. Psalm 144, 15. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 3, 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. John 13, 17. I just read to you. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. 1 Peter 3, 14. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. 1 Peter 4, 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Now, as Christians, we understand that happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit, okay? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and there is a difference in happiness and joy. Let me read to you from Galatians 5 and verse 22, just to verify that. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, there it is, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There are nine of those. None of them have to do with happiness, all right? So here's the thing. You can be happy and not have joy. You can also have joy and not be happy, all right? Now, we'll talk more about the comparison and contrast of joy and happiness later on, but today what I want to do is just give you three truths about this emotion we call happiness. First of all, happiness is an obligation. What do I mean by that? Well, we owe it to other people to be happy. We ought to be happy people, especially when we're saved and on our way to heaven. Listen, please, to Psalm 128, verses 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is everyone. That word blessed means happy, all right? Happy, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Notice the impact of being happy on the spouse and the children. Now, you don't have to spend too much time with a family or in a home to sense whether there is happiness in that home or not. You've heard maybe this little joke before. Someone asked a lady when she arrived at work, did you wake up grumpy today? And she said, no, I left him in bed. That's not good. You know, they were saying, are you grumpy emotionally? And she's talking about her husband here. You see, we owe it to our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, our church to be happy people. You know, here we go. We tell people we're going to heaven and man, we're excited about that. And we know we're in church and yet we show up and our jaws are dropping on the ground and we look like we've eaten a sour persimmons or something. We shouldn't look like that. The happiest people showing up at work, showing up at church, being out in the public should be Christian people. We owe that to people so they can see, you know, there's something different about them. Not only do we owe it to others, but did you know we actually act more decent when we're happy? That's right. A happy person will treat others better. And this is true, especially in the service industry. You know, I hear this quite often, and in fact, some of our two of our boys actually work in the food industry, and they will work on a Sunday afternoon. And I've heard so many people say this, that when they work in the service industry at a restaurant, that Sundays sometimes are the worst day when customers will complain and they have low tips. That's a bad testimony. Can I tell you something? A gospel tract is not enough of a tip for a waitress. That waitress has bills to pay, probably raising a family. Now, leave a gospel tract, but leave a good tip with it, all right? Yes, you're planting the seed for eternal life, but the person also has to live here on the earth. And so don't just leave a gospel tract and say, well, that's my tip. No, that's a cheapskate what it is. You need to be better than that and make that person's day while you are leaving a gospel tract. And here's something else. You'll get better service when you do that. Service people recognize recognize that. They know that right off the bat. And you will even get better service when you treat people nice. You go out to a restaurant, you know, and things are not just exactly right. Don't be a jerk. Don't complain about the food and the service and all of that. And then go home, put it on social media. No, don't do that. That's a bad witness for a believer. We ought to be nice and pleasant, whether it's in the service industry or anything like that. Be pleasant and polite. And when we're happy, we just act more decent. And then when we are happy, we actually are reflecting our relationship with God. Your happiness reflects your relationship with God. Let's see what Paul says. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul here starts out his letter, man, I thank God every time I think about you. Man, I pray for you and I appreciate your fellowship. We would have no idea that Paul is actually writing this from a nasty, dark, and dank prison. This guy sounds like he's just walking on air. He said, man, I thank God that I remember you. I pray for you all the time. I'm confident of all of this. You'd have no idea. How does he do this? Well, it's showing us his relationship with God, and it is his relationship with God that allows Paul to be so pleasant and positive in his letter. Unhappy, joyless Christians pose a real challenge when it comes to leading others to Christ. Here's why. Because the world looks at us and wonders, why in the world would I want what they have? They look miserable, and they're telling me I should be saved. And I live next door to them, and I see how unhappy they are. Now, usually there is at least one of these two reasons why Christians are unhappy. Let me give these to you. Number one, sometimes it's because Christians have a legalistic attitude. A legalistic attitude is a fault-finding attitude. I mean, they just always look at other people. They just can't measure up to their so-called level of spirituality. And so they look at others and they nitpick and they find something wrong with this person and that person. That kind of person is legalistic. They don't make a good coworker, a good neighbor. They may know the Lord. They may be on their way to heaven, but they're sure not very much fun to be around. They're legalistic. They think that they are more spiritual, and so they fault find all over the place. I've known of Christians like that. Maybe you have as well. It's a bad testimony. But then also, another reason for an unhappy Christian is a lack of fellowship with God. You see, when we have unconfessed sin in our life, we're not serving. Maybe God has called us to do something, and we're not doing that. Maybe we're not giving of our tithes and our offerings, and we know that we should, but we're holding out on God. Maybe we don't pray, we don't read our Bible, we stop going to church like we should. All of these things will cause a wall to go up in our fellowship with God. And when that happens, a Christian will be unhappy. Now, thankfully, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose the joy of your salvation. You know, David in Psalm 51, as he prays his prayer of confession, one of the things he says is, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's nothing more miserable than a Christian who is backslidden and away from God. And so that can cause us to be just really unhappy and not very joyful Christians. Now, the next thing I want us to see is number two, and that is happiness is work. It's not easy being happy, all right? Happiness is work. I'm going to go back to John chapter 13 and read verses 13 through 17. And just listen to this, please. Jesus says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And then we read this a moment ago. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, the implication is this, that we must do some things in order to be happy. Jesus is demonstrating servant leadership, doing for others. A leader is not somebody that's out front bossing everybody, all right? It's doing for other people. Instead of others washing Jesus' feet, Jesus says, I wash their feet. And that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of humility. The reason so many people today are unhappy, here's why. They're waiting for something to happen to make them happy. All right, so happiness, they think, is what happens to me. Their default setting is unhappiness. I'm unhappy until I have more money. All right. And then I get happy. I'm unhappy until I get to take a trip. And then all of a sudden I'm happy again. So they're like on a roller coaster of emotion, happy and unhappy, depending on what happens to them. But, you know, it doesn't take any courage or determination or work to be unhappy. That's just the default setting. That's easy to do. Unhappiness is the easy way out. It's the coward's way out. You see, happiness says, I'm going to look to do for others. Again, in America, we have been so prosperous, we are so self-centered, that's why we're unhappy. It's interesting, you know, whenever you are unhappy, the best thing you can do is find somebody else to bless. Go to a nursing home for the afternoon and visit some people. Go to a children's hospital. You'll be touched and you'll be blessed and you'll see, you know what, I don't have it so bad. And it will change your attitude. Someone put it like this, happiness is a battle to be waged, not a feeling to be waited for. Don't wait to be happy, all right? It's work to be happy. Here's another scripture, Philippians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 18. Again, Paul is writing this from jail, from prison, and he says in Philippians 1 and verse 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, now, these were bad things. These weren't good things. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ, my going to prison, are manifest or revealed in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, they look at me and here I am in prison and yet I'm happy and I'm joyful. And it just gives them more courage to be bold with the gospel. And he says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, some of goodwill. One preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds as if they're hurting Paul in some way. And then he says, others preach in love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. But he's not going to worry about why they're doing it. He says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, the bottom line is this, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. That's a guy with a great attitude, man. He says, I'm not going to worry about why somebody is ministering the way that they are. I don't get all into that. I'm just glad Christ is being lifted up, and that is what makes me happy, and I'm going to rejoice and continue to joy in that. What a great attitude that is that we need to emulate. And then number three, we need to understand that happiness is a choice. It really comes down to choice. Jesus in John chapter 16 and verse 33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Okay, let's stop right there. In this world, there are going to be problems. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have bad days. You'll have some good days, but there'll be some troubles. There'll be tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Beloved, this sin-cursed world is filled with troubles and problems, isn't it? I mean, there's sickness, there is pain, there's discouragement, there's eventually death. No one escapes it. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All of the positive thinking, all of the motivational speaking, it won't change the fact that there are problems. So now it comes down to a choice. All right. There's going to be problems and troubles in life. I guess I'll just live my life and be miserable since that's the way it is. No, that's a pessimistic look on life. Most people look for happiness in the moment. It's what makes them happy now. And so they have to go to the store and they buy some new clothes. And I'm happy now for, a few days. And then the new clothes are old again. And pretty soon we're sending them out to, a rummage sale or something. And maybe it's a new relationship. You know, if I get a new relationship in my life and boy, I'll be doing better. And then they find out the person in the relationship was not what they thought. And it begins to wane. And let's say you're a sports fan. My team wins, man. I'm really happy about that. And then after a day or two, that begins to wear off, and now I'm unhappy again, and the search is on again and again and again, never realizing that it's a choice to be made, not an event, not an emotion to be felt. I like what Paul says in Acts chapter 26, verses 1 and 2, as he's again, Paul, man, he was in and out of trouble all the time. And the Bible says, then Agrippa said to Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. And here's what he says, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." He says, "I think myself happy." In other words, I'm not in a real good situation, but I'm going to look at it different. I'm making a choice here. And I, you know what? I'm going to be happy that I am here because I get to give my testimony again. Listen, rather than complain about his unfair treatment and where he was and how bad everything was, Paul chose to be happy to have the opportunity to share his testimony. And that's a great example for you and I. Well, with the time we have left, I want to, first of all, thank all of those who listen to our program on the radio, those who listen on the podcast. You can listen to us anytime. If you have a smartphone, you can go to your favorite podcast store and search for Bible Truth for Living with Tim Reynolds. You'll find the Bible Truth podcast, and you can listen to these messages as well as other Bible teachings at your convenience. And then I also appreciate those who not only listen, but they pray for us and they financially support us. Many of you out there, it's you who keep us on the radio, who help us to have a podcast ministry. And I want to thank you for that. If you appreciate the truths of God's word being preached and taught, and you want to be a partner, you can write to us at Bible Truth for Living, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. And you can send your best gift along with a prayer request or Bible question, whatever you would like. And we would certainly appreciate it. It goes to pay for airtime as well as our podcast ministry. And the announcer will repeat that again in just a moment. Let's say you don't have a home church. You're looking for a church. Well, we invite you to both churches where I have the opportunity to pastor. First of all, Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. We begin with Sunday school classes for all ages. 10 o'clock is our morning service. I preach in that service. And then 6 o'clock Sunday night, I preach again then. And then Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and we have Bible study on that night as well. So that's at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, located at 817 Woodland Drive in Mount Vernon. Call us at 618-244-5404. Find us online at mountvernonbaptisttemple.com. And then Waltonville Community Church, we're located at 321 South Hiron Street, just across from the Waltonville Cafe and Grain Elevator. We begin every Sunday morning at 11:15 a.m. I preach in that service as well. And we'd love to see you at Waltonville Community Church. You can call us or text at 618-315-1111 or visit online at waltonvillecommunitychurch.com. You can also find both on Facebook by searching Mount Vernon Baptist Temple or Waltonville Community Church. And then let me remind you one more time about our upcoming Bible Prophecy Weekend called Understanding the Times, May 19th through 21st. It's a Friday through Sunday. Our friend and fellow pastor Rodney Malott will begin Friday night, May 19th at 6 o'clock with a teaching on the coming Tribulation Temple. Saturday, May the 20th, 5 o'clock, Olive Tree Ministries representative Ken Michael will present a prophecy update. A lot of current events and things that we see going on in our world today, Brother Ken will be focusing on. Sunday, May 21st, 9 o'clock, Dr. Ron Reynolds will teach on the characteristics of the kingdom age. And then I'll be preaching at 10 o'clock, Sunday, May 21st, on the topic, Are You Ready for the Rapture? And then we'll wrap things up at 6 o'clock Sunday night, May the 21st, with a Bible prophecy Q&A roundtable where we take questions over the gamut of things going on in our world today. And so we invite you to be a part of that. Understanding the Times, Bible Prophecy Weekend, Friday through Sunday, May 19th through 21st at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. Thank you so much for being a part of our ministries. We certainly do appreciate it, and I look forward to being with you again next time. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.